What is going on, everybody? It has been quite the hiatus that I have been on, but I am back. My name is Tony Belasco, and this is episode 16 of the Tony V Project. Yes, it's probably been 6 months or so, at least, I think, since the last one of these we did. I kind of wanted to rewind, start from ground zero, start from scratch, and kind of revamp this whole podcast process. I was having not trouble getting guests, but guests that and topics that I felt were at the caliber of what I want to deliver to the audience and from a value standpoint and all of that. So kind of rework the concept of everything. And the ultimate goal is to kind of bring kind of more engaging topics that I think anybody and everybody can relate to, which is why we're going to kick this thing off with this topic on education and specifically college. And the exact topic is the ROI of a college education and whether or not it brings the same return on investment that it used to with the rising costs of college and all that good stuff. And I felt it was, there was no better way to kind of get it kicked off with the three of you guys who are in the industry or another entrepreneur. And so we're gonna discuss, debate. We have my buddy Sean Rennie here. Oh, by the way, all of whom have either are current or have been Afterburn members. So even former coaches and trainers right. here. So yeah. We're bringing back the entire fam. So, but anyways, Sean Rennie owns his own construction company, R3 Construction, correct?
Yep.
Sally Burkowski, who is a teacher. Uh-huh. What grade is it?
Second grade.
Second grade. And of course, my big man over here, Kevin Bansley, who is also has a master's degree in education, works with special needs. And so why don't you guys go a little bit more in depth on yourself, and we'll go this way and we'll kick it off.
Okay.
So what I do right now is special education for mostly at-risk population. So it is high school level, so grades 9 to all the way up to age 22. Because of special education, they can receive services up to age 22. And then outside of that, I do what's called education therapy, which is more of skill-based training, so they can excel in the curriculum that teachers deliver.
Very cool.
Yeah, my name is Shelly Borkowski. I've been teaching second grade or in the elementary schools for about 20 years, and I've just kind of seen all the different ways that education has kind of swung, and kind of also I'm a mother of three kids, two of whom are in high school, one of them's in junior high, and so I've kind of seen how that all goes and the pressures and things that are put on kids these days. So just seen a lot of change in 20 years for sure.
Like Tony said, I'm Sean. I'm an entrepreneur. I run my construction company, and I had stepped foot into college for a little bit, and then quickly realized that I was going to have a lot of money to get myself through it. So I went into the field of construction at the age of 19, and from there, you just kind of the grind began, so to speak. And one thing I always say to any educators or those who have degrees is the amount of respect I have, because it was something that was so huge for me to try to get over, that I had to go a different direction. But my respect for the educators of this world and for those who get themselves through college is, there's respect on both sides, of course.
For sure.
Appreciate that.
Cool. Yeah. So before we get into the kind of details and the nitty gritty of this whole topic and debate and discussion, I want to preface a handful of different things. First and foremost, I'm sure we'll dive into other aspects of the education, the system, stuff like that. But the main focus should be strictly when it comes to college, and about, again, the amount of money that it costs to get into college, and whether or not you effectively put that 20, 30, 40, 100, 150, whatever it is, thousands of dollars that you put towards your education, and if it is if it has a return on that investment that's worthwhile when it comes to your career. I also, obviously, kind of like Sean already stated, this is, to me, more, even when it comes to the college and the ROI thing, this is a system discussion and not a teacher-educator discussion. Quite honestly, teachers, I believe, are one of the key elements to a child's success. I firmly believe that what happens within the first, especially within the first 10 years of a kid's life, is what will shape them for the rest of their life. And outside of parents, guess who spends the most time with those kids, and that is hands down teachers. And so I definitely want to make that point clear as well. I'm trying to think, and you'll see me use this. This is my guide here. What else? And the only other thing that I want to preface this is obviously we're all going to have kind of differing opinions on the matter, but I personally am kind of in this weird middle ground, right? Where I went to college, had a blast, maybe too much fun in college, right? And so I see a lot of the positives and benefits that come from it, right? Especially from a life skill standpoint and everything else. I mean, I got a degree in sociology, which does absolutely nothing for me. Or maybe it does, and that's secret, the underlying secret. I don't know.
Totally.
But my point is that I'm really kind of in this middle ground of there are parts of me that love it and think it's an absolute necessity.
Yep.
And then there is another part of me, especially with the advancement of technology these days and the alternative ways to gain knowledge in whatever field it is for a fraction of the cost of college that has, you know, made me kind of question the exact, you know, how good the ROI basically is. And so,
if I could tap on one of those, you know, you had mentioned briefly that you had a lot of fun or maybe too much fun in college. And that was one thing, not going to college, that I didn't experience. I was working. I was full-time working 12, 16 hours a day. I mentioned to you that I worked at Sunshine for a little bit as a day counselor there. At some point, I was at Sunshine doing some tutoring and then also starting my field in construction. My schedule was
packed.
I mean, that's all it was work and trying to figure out if I was willing to jump away from college and then to go down that road, because it can be a scary road. And you have to really gut check yourself. Are you being lazy and trying to get out of the work?
Yeah.
Or are you ready to hit it running and saying, I'm going to make whatever's in front of me profitable. You know, I'm going to find whatever I can do and use that source to just get the wheels going.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, even with like the partying aspect, is you become stagnant in a place where the school is doing it for you now. The school is going to provide. And that's my fear of some types of colleges, is that you get complacent. It's kind of just fed to you now. You pay the bills, you show up on time, you do the assignments, you get the degree. That's the separating between someone who's going to get that degree and become extremely successful with the degree, or get the degree and then sit on it and God knows where they're going to go with it. So that you really have to, as much as there's the entrepreneur side of it, there's no easy way.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing for everyone to hear is that you're going to work.
No matter what, that's the end result.
There's no, you're not playing Fortnite. I
didn't
play Fortnite. I wasn't sit down playing video games.
Yeah.
You weren't a professional video game player?
Yeah, you know.
They make a lot of money.
I was going to say they make a lot of money.
Yeah, and maybe I
might want to switch gears.
But they still put in a lot of work.
Yeah, for sure.
They put in a lot of work. It's just different.
100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
100%.
Totally. That's funny.
But I think that's one thing that kids out of high school, or just getting out of high school, don't realize. And you could attest to this, that how much work ethic and sacrifice comes into making that decision not to go to college and starting your own business, or making it on your own in such a way that doesn't utilize college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably got surprised at 18, 19, whenever you decided not that college wasn't for you, like how much work goes into building something, especially your own business.
Yeah.
I think that's the line that a lot of kids don't really cross or think about.
I think for sure, like with anything, one of my kids, she's got this path. She's wanted to be an engineer forever. She knows exactly what she wants to do. In my opinion, you have to go to college for that. Like if you have a vision. But I have another child who doesn't know what she wants to do. And so to jump into college when you really have no idea, no pathway, that's almost like, okay, well, is that going to be worth it or not? I mean, I think it totally depends on who it is and what they want to do.
Right.
You know, and you have to have grit. I mean, no matter if you're going into college and you want to be an engineer, but you don't have grit for it, and you're not going to approach your instructors, and you're not going to do those things, then you're not going to get that either. So yeah, you definitely have to be able to dig deep no matter what you do. Yep.
For sure. And 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
So why don't we start with literally the exact topic and that exact question, and then we'll get into the details of it. But we'll kind of go around. We'll start with you, Kevin. Like, do you think, like, if someone were to just come up and ask you this question right now, do you think college, as it stands now, is 100% worth the investment you put into it? And this is this is assuming that someone graduates.
Question,
this,
right?
is, this is assuming you graduate.
Yeah.
Not. Right. Now, of course, it's not worth it if you bounce two years in or whatever. You make it all the way through. Is it worth it?
Yes, I think. But I just came up with, even though I have like these stacks of free papers, and like I just think as we go along, and we're in a gym, so I start thinking, okay, out here, and you pick a gym, and it has trainers, it has programs, it has all the things that kind of like a school, right?
Yeah.
And you do your due diligence, like, oh, I fit this gym. This gym fits my price range. There's so many factors in choosing a gym. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same for school. You have to do your due diligence. So I think the successful ones that think it's worth it and are not in crazy amounts of debt, find a way to properly plan way and get way ahead of the game before actually having to make that decision after graduation from high
for
school.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I think it has. I think it is, but it requires a lot of planning, and what you identifying. You know, high schools kind of have to tag in with colleges and trying to get students to understand what they're good at, their strengths, and then developing a path for them when they graduate, so they're ready to make that decision.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think it's funny because I've gone back and forth. Like, do I think it's worth it? Do I not? But then when I come back to my own family, my own kids. 100%, they're going to college.
Yeah.
Like that's the way it is. And so, but at the same time, being a teacher, I mean, I've seen kids who maybe that isn't the right path for them, good or bad. And so I just feel like, I think it's definitely
so
the way to go.
So when you say that, just because I want to double down on what you just said. So you said, like, when you in your classroom, you'll see kids that maybe that's not the right path for them.
Right.
But then you said for my kids, like, I want them to go
it's
to college.
Hypocritical, for sure.
And so is it hypocritical? In the sense that, like, you want them to go to college, I guess what I'm asking is, when you make that analysis, are you analyzing your children in the same way you're analyzing the kids in the classroom, and you can see that is the right path for them because they're smart, as you know, schools say what smart is, and like, or what do you?
It's not necessarily about being smart or not smart. I think that there's kind of a pathway for anybody, but I do think that there are some kids who. Just kind of like in anything, that's just not where they're going to be comfortable going. And I don't know if it could be based on how they're raised. It could be based on their interests. It could be based on just the kind of a person that they are. I think there's a lot of factors that go into that. And it could be that right now I want my kids to go to college, but I'm not making that final choice for them. So, that's how I was raised, and so that's how I'm raising my kids. But like I said, when they're old enough to make that decision, it's going to have to be theirs.
Right.
But we're raising them in that direction. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think that there's anything finite. And that's the thing I think that's tricky with anything with college. Like, it's not worth it for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to make a complete line like that, draw the line in the sand that says it's good for everybody, because I just don't. It depends on what you make of it. It depends on how you do with it. And I think, too, like, learning can be really hard for some kids. And they can be really skilled at other things, and so maybe a trade school would be better for them. Learning can just be, and I've had kids who were really, really gifted athletes and really gifted at a lot of things, but they couldn't read. And so all the time, I'm stupid. And I'm like, no, you're not. You know, if you were to race me in a race right now, you would beat me 100%.
Yeah.
Like, but they, in an academic setting, if they're not a good reader, at least in second grade, that tells their path for their entire future.
So, and I don't want to cut off here before Sean gets to talk, but literally everything that just came out of your mouth is, I 1,000% agree with, and is literally the basis for 90% of my argument.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the idea of, not being a good reader and being labeled dumb, right? And I'll probably touch on it at some point. The whole ADHD thing is something that kind of gets at me a little bit. And again, prefacing, I have zero, medical expertise. However, there was something that I saw not too long ago come across a Facebook feed, and it was an extremely successful entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and he was somebody who was labeled ADHD mm-hmm. his entire life.
Yeah, I mean, that's at some point you can almost take it as a compliment.
Yes,
well, and that's what he said. He's like, yes. He's like, someone told me one time that maybe it's a superpower mm-hmm. that nobody else has.
Yeah.
That people with ADHD just have the ability to do 27 things at one time, very quickly, move fast, mm-hmm. which is what you need to be able to do yep. as an entrepreneur. But, and yep. this is my part of my biggest argument, is the system, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't follow that one typical or stereotypical path mm-hmm. of English, math, science, and what is stereotypically smart, mm-hmm. right? That they get labeled dumb,
yep.
either you know by other kids, but whatever. I mean, it's not saying the teachers are telling them
no,
dumb,
but hopefully not.
They feel that way when they get F's in class, and so it's like there isn't a proper system to be even you know provide the multiple opportunities, as you said, a trade mm-hmm. school mm-hmm. or other avenues. It's like if you don't win at school, then you just can't win.
Yep.
And I think college and everything else is a part of that with the SATs and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just that whole system, like it kind of, it deters what could be really talented individuals
for sure.
from reaching for the stars
yeah.
because they don't fit the mold.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like, you're just mislabeling what is real talent.
Right.
Because it doesn't fit within the yeah. confines of the school, which is fine to say, the same would take place in a gym.
Yeah.
You can come to the gym and, you know, do some crazy exercise, you're still doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're not going to be successful in the gym if you're coming here and doing the wrong forms and, you know, wrong weights and that sort of thing. Same with school. So yeah. whether you have the tools when you walk in the door or not, I think there's a lot about having to really do some, like I said, gut checks or soul searching to figure out, okay, so I'm not good at math. Math was always hard for me. But you want to know what? My first job out of high school was working for a civil engineer. I was doing trigonometry. You know, standing in 100-degree weather, realize like, oh, well, I guess I can do
math.
It.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah.
in the back of my head, too, I'm thinking, well, I'm getting paid to do it, too.
That always helps, right?
I hated homework, but boy, that money feels good coming in. And so you have to really, like, you know, change that comfortable thinking where...
Mindset.
I would suggest that kids should always have a direction towards furthering education, whether yeah. it's college or trade school or whatever it may be, but have the objective of always educating yourself mm-hmm. throughout life. Don't ever think that you should stop educating yourself.
Yeah.
But put yourself into the fire. Unless you're an athlete and you're terrible at math, you're terrible at school, you get test anxiety, walk through the door.
Yeah.
And really feel that heat for a minute and decide, okay, is this something that I want to push through and become successful at? Or is it that I know that I'm wasting my time because I could be over here doing this right now?
Yeah.
And that was just kind of, you know, piggybacking on what you had said earlier. You do want your kids to go towards education.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to ever tell my daughter, yeah, well, dad didn't do it, you don't have to do it either. Mm-hmm. No, that's foolish. Mm-hmm. Because everything is going to be, you know, somewhat of an anomaly to a different individual, where you were raised, how you were, you know, what sort of finances you have behind you. And something I had shared with you is, my parents were basically, what money is in your savings account? Because that's what you're going to college
right.
with. And, you know, and I had started doing some work when I was 14 for the studios, just doing extra work and walking around in the background of TV shows, and
yeah.
I flipped pizzas, I scooped ice cream, I worked at the daycare, and that was the money that was in my account, and it all went to my first semester. I mean, I remember having that money for so long, and then just being gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bitterness that I had.
Yeah, right.
was like
whoa.
Yeah, that didn't feel good at all.
No.
But it still taught me that lesson, though.
Yeah.
So that was the changing in the thinking, was that like, yeah, that when you looked at your bank account, you started thinking about your money.
Yeah.
And you started to think about how hard I had worked and then it was gone so fast. Was that a good investment of that money there? And so that was the starting of my thinking, mm-hmm. okay, I've spent this money, I'm in college right now. You know, there's times when I'm skipping my classes. I'm like, this makes no sense. I spent all this money, I'm sitting in my truck refusing to go to class.
Yeah.
What am I doing to myself? Yeah. But that was the internal battle that was going on at that time. And then once that little door opened up of a friend calling and offering a job, and it had some good, you know, the glass ceiling was pretty high up on that area, all of a sudden. You go for it, you know, you take that leap and say, if it doesn't work, then the college is still here. Mm-hmm. That doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason that I have to go to college at 19
no.
or 20, go to college at 40, 45. I ended up going back for specific trade classes. Yeah. So I went and took a trigonometry class because I was doing trig every day and I needed to be stronger. So I took one class and that was it. But I looked at college for what it was good for me and the talents that I had as an individual, and then how to get as much out of there with the least amount of money. Mm-hmm. You know, how to spend the least amount of money, but get what I needed to create more money off of that.
Well, and that's the, I think Kevin touched on this earlier, the idea of like tasting different things, right? Because on one hand, that's, I mean, take myself for an example. Went into college, had no idea what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And even by the time I left college, still had no idea what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you don't know what you want to do when you think you do, when you're 10.
Yeah.
You know what
uh-huh.
I mean? You think you want to be an astronaut or a cop or whatever. And obviously it changes a lot over time. But I see so often that, you know, people go into college thinking that they want to be a dentist, a doctor, a lawyer, and all of that kind of stuff. And then they realize, oh shit.
I don't want to do that.
I do not want to do that. And so, again, and we'll get into some numbers here real quick here, like from a number standpoint, is $50,000 or $100,000, is that, you know, for you to figure out what you want to do, it's a lot of money to figure out what you want to do. It's also potentially a lot of money to gain what could be life skills. So let me just fire off a few numbers, and then we'll get into the second part of this where I'll ask some other questions. The average cost was $35,000 a year for a private university and about $10,000 a year for a public university. And obviously, out-of-state stuff, which we'll also get into a little bit, that obviously it's about double. So an out-of-state public is about 20 per year. So if you're talking about a four-year degree, you're talking between 40 and $80,000 for a public university if it's in or out of state, and $120,000 to $150,000 if you're going to a private university. Now, oddly enough, is I would actually say that the schools that are not really a part of that average that are in the top 10, you know, your Yales, your stuff like that, I actually would say that even though they are the most expensive, they probably have the best ROI out of any school that's around. I mean, if you're graduating from Harvard, Yale, and the biggest reason I believe is because of the outside of the education, the connections that you build within the elite part of our society cannot be replicated anywhere else.
Right.
Now, so this is more of a conversation on the rest of the universities throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Some of the other numbers, and I was kind of expecting this, so there is a statistical, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out, Trig Man. correlation with schooling and annual income.
Yep.
I mean, there's been a million studies done on it. It is, I mean, it's 20, if you have less than a college education, it's $25,000 a year. If you have an AA, if you go to college and then leave, it's 35. If you have an AA, it's 41. And if you have a bachelor's, it's 60. And if you have a master's, it's 70. And if you have a professional degree, it's 90. Mm-hmm. Professional degree is another aspect of this that I don't think is really a necessary debate. It's impossible to become a doctor, a lawyer, if you don't go to college.
Right.
It's not even in the card. It's not a possibility. So. Mm-hmm. This is more for those who are not going to a top 10 university, those who are not in a professional degree. They are for your everybody else average person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some other quick stats to kind of throw out. This is the nearly 2 in 5 Americans don't see value in their college degree. And they say that because roughly 40 to 50% aren't in a field that they got their degree in. And so those stats, combined with, you know, again, the increasing cost of college, to me, and I think you touched on a little bit, college is starting to become like commoditized. It's becoming more like big business than education focused. I mean, you look at all the schools across the country and they spend millions, billions of dollars putting, you know, they put that money into building their facilities. So really nice, fancy buildings and places for the kids to hang out and all of that stuff, right? While not simultaneously really increasing the level of education that the kids are getting. Mm-hmm. And so the money that you're paying is for a fancy building to do your homework in. And so that...
And good food service.
Yeah, good food service. So that's part of what I'm like, there's, because they know, hey, look, because it's become a game.
Yeah.
It's become the same thing that sports is, right? Yeah. College sports and professional sports. Yeah. If you know, we're going to get LeBron James to come over to the Lakers, like, we've got to show him everything that LA has to offer.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the University of Oregon and the University of Colorado,
totally.
And that's what they're doing now.
Yep.
It's not, look how smart we can make you. Mm-hmm. It's, look how amazing the campus is.
Yeah.
And so there's, and then who foots the bill? The kids.
Yep.
Or the parents, a lot of the time
as
well.
And they're going out of state, because even though that's the price you said, that is the average, because there's a lot of that are less than that. That is not,
correct.
Like Boulder is way higher than that for California. So.
Well, and that's another part of my issue. And again, I don't know the exact details of how the in-state, out-of-state stuff works. But to me, on the surface, that's kind of scam-ish.
Oh, totally.
Because
it's totally,
from my understanding, it is, if I'm in-state, right?
Yep.
It is more difficult for me to get into a college
school.
In-state than it is out-of-state.
Yep.
And that is because... In California, if I'm going to a public university, they've already collected the tax dollars.
Totally.
Right? So they want to have my tax dollars and the dude from Arizona is paying full board to get in. So they're going to make the barrier for entry for him a little bit lower.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and if you thought for a minute that you can educate yourself outside of California and save on the cost of living, you just...
There you go.
Yeah.
We're
right?
Fine. Yeah, totally.
You guys mentioned, and you said, use the word scamish, and it can be scamish, but this is the thing that baffles me when I think about students paying or parents paying for college, is that we have a choice. And if we're buying into that scam, we're only enabling them to continue doing this.
100%.
So if it's like, why don't you buy a $400,000 house or $800,000 house or a $3 million house? You have a choice to make on how much you're going to spend money. And at the end of the day, your purpose of living in a house, or your purpose for buying a house is to live.
Yeah,
whether it's a $3 million house or a, you know, $800,000 house, whatever it is, it's your choice. It serves the same purpose. And so that's, again, going into planning on understanding the benefits you're going to receive versus the costs that you're going to pay.
Yeah.
But here would be my counter to that. And that is that... If it's not quite on the same level playing field as a home purchase, a car purchase, or things of that nature, because this is assuming that the parent is not paying, okay?
Right.
If the parent pays and they're going to foot the bill, I'm sure the parent is at that time taking into account the cost of that education, what they're going to pay. Mm-hmm. However, if the parent is not paying and the kid is paying, they're gonna get accepted regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And because of student loans, the kids don't have to, they're not really qualifying for that particular, you know what I mean? The San Diego State versus the University of Arizona, which is where I went. Like, I could have gone to San Diego State and theoretically paid a lot less than going to the University of Arizona, but.
What made you choose?
Well, I'm a bad example because my dad paid for college. but my point being is that if my dad didn't pay for college, my out-of-pocket expenditure is still zero, because the student loans are going to pay for it. And it's not like it's based on my income, like a home or a car.
Right.
So where they're like, hey, look, you can't afford to go out of state, so if it was like that, I would be all in for that, because then it would be like, look, you can't afford this.
Right.
You need to play within your realm.
Right.
But I can live here, have to pay my own way, and get fully accepted and get that school fully covered by a student loan at the University of Michigan. And now I'm going to get accepted. I mean, the grades, I'm talking about the actual financing aspect of it. And now I'm in for double or triple, quadruple when you start factoring in living expenses, mm-hmm. than I would have been otherwise. And so there's not a level of, there's not a wall, you know what I mean? Preventing that is what I...
Well, and I think that, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I think that the other thing with that is I don't think that kids understand what debt is. It's a number.
Exactly.
And so there's a girl that we know that just got accepted to Chapman and USC and really wanted to go to USC, but Chapman was going to give her a full ride and her parents were going to help her, but she didn't want to go to Chapman. She wants to go to USC. She's got no help. And her parents were like, listen, if you're going to do that, kind of on your own.
Right.
She's going to USC. Like, she has no idea what debt she's going to have for the next 4 years.
My buddy did the same thing. Sorry, 2 seconds, then you go. My buddy did the same thing. I remember, I joke about it. Jay Ray, this is for you, brother. My buddy, my best friend Jay, we went to the same school. We went to the University of Arizona. Good man. He took him 7 years to graduate. He is extremely successful now.
Yeah.
Mind you, while he was away at school, he had to pay his own route and accumulated a bunch of
debt
along the way. And I remember him being like, why don't you throw another 5K on my loan? Because, you know what I mean? We got to go on vacation here. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you just don't, a lot of kids
don't think about it. Nope.
Because it's free money.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, I think it comes back down, though, too. Regardless if we get accepted for such and such amount, it comes back down to decision making.
Yeah.
And I think as adults, we have a responsibility to take care of our youth and protect them from things that harm them.
Yeah.
And one of those things that harm them is debt.
Is debt.
So that's, again, where we all kind of rely on each other throughout the school system, from second grade to middle school to high school, to warn them, to educate them through financial literacy courses and all kinds of different things to prepare them to make that decision when it comes. Because at the end of the day, we're mad at the institution and the scam, and it is a scam, and it is a big business, but at the end of the day, we have choice.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
we're making that choice, too.
Well, I think that choice is kind of being shoved in front of us, though. That you have to remember that every mechanical engineer or doctor or lawyer, it's supply and demand. Mm-hmm. There's still only so many positions available for each of those trades, and that has to be considered. And when you see the cost going up, you have to ask yourself, well, who wants to have control of the supply and demand? Well, it's the ultra wealthy. It's those who can afford it, where that debt doesn't necessarily ever be a debt. It's a ding in their their lines of millions, because they're going to control that area of our society where their kids are the doctors, their kids are the lawyers, and it makes it much harder for a kid who's trying to say, you know what, screw it, I'm going to take on life and I'm going to make myself a lawyer. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
They want to have that because it is, we have a population is constantly growing. We have a lot of out of state or out of country engineers coming into the world, a lot from India and from other places where they're taking up that job market.
Yeah.
And so that becomes the illusion. So you talk about how pretty the campuses are. Well, that's the illusion. You're walking in thinking, oh, I have parties, I have my friends here, mommy and daddy are going to be home and not going to bother me about, you know, that becomes the distraction from $300,000 in debt,
right?
You know, and then again, you have the debt. You come out of it, and you found out that they just hired a whole group of Indian engineers to swoop in for a little bit cheaper. And that's something that has to really be the forefront of a lot of these decisions that we're facing now.
Yeah.
Because trade schools, although I love trade,
why don't they do trade schools? Or like, why isn't there But like within the
colleges.
No, before that, you know what I mean? Like in high school and. So
why did they take it away? Like, wood
shop. Exactly. Why is it not presented as like as a path, really?
Because it doesn't hit elite status.
I think it's so valuable for someone to monetize it outside of a public, a government paid facility. So they realize, well, don't give them those tools. Let's teach them cursive for a few years. That'll really pay off later. And so, like, you know, that's a little bit of this.
Ben downstairs writes in cursive. It's weird.
Sorry, Ben.
Like, is that a Z?
Yeah, like, who does that?
He writes in cursive.
But that has to be, because we're constantly stepping into new generations with technology in our pockets and things like this happening. You have to start understanding that money is the factor in all of this.
Yep.
And you can set yourself up in the right situation. As a mechanical engineer, the first thing I'd say is get an internship somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's sweeping floors, but get that name badge
in there.
And take it home with you, because that is that one step in front of the guy who says, well, you know, my English isn't very good, but I'm educated here. Well, but she's been here for a while. Mm-hmm. She has the same education, mm-hmm. and maybe she's willing to compete on mm-hmm. that dollar amount. Mm-hmm. So there has to be that creativity of know what you're aiming for, but think wide. Don't just think that just because you have the Pampers on that they're going to give you the diploma and then they take
exactly.
them off. Like, no,
you gotta have grit.
Yeah, it is.
You gotta work for it. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, the other thing I kind of feel is just watching my kids in high school right now and watching what all of their friends are going through is there's this idea that you have, like, and I think it's why they took away the trade stuff too, is that you have to get A's. You better get A's. And not only do you need to not get a 4.0, which is what we used to have to get, now it's a 5.0. And you better be taking 4.5 classes. You better be having AP classes. You better be up till 2 a.m. doing homework. And so for these kids, like for these big schools, everybody wants, like they feel like the only way to achieve is to get into these big schools, is to get there. And so, like, even if they get a B, that's a failure to them now. Like, mm-hmm. the idea of this competition and what they're supposed to do is kind of, it's pretty tough. Like, they don't even get to enjoy high school the way that we got mm-hmm. to. And so I feel like, and then what I've heard is, and I haven't had one in college yet, but by the time they get to college, they worked so hard in high school, they're like, I gotta get a job. Like, yeah. Oh, this is easy. You know what I mean? But I think for them, like, I think that it's drilling into their heads now in high school that if they are, even if school comes even a little bit easy to them, that they have to go way above and beyond. And I think it's kind of like this false, it's scary how false it is. And so I think that can be part of it too, is that they want to get into these big schools because that's the only way to look good in their eyes.
Yeah, you need the clout.
Yeah,
And that's with everything.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
You can walk into a room now because you have a gym that's successful, that's created a name for itself, and that's your clout.
Yeah.
It allows you to, you know, you're not just the owner of a gym. Just like you, for instance, you didn't go to school and say, I'm only going to be a doctor, I'm only going to be a lawyer.
Right.
You're also not only a gym owner. It gave you the avenues to be creative with it, and that's where that's the idea that I think we need to have is don't be so dead set on one thing of it. Learn how that
right.
a mechanical engineering degree can go in so many different ways,
yep.
But be creative with it, and also know that if there's this,
that you could change your mind.
Yeah, you can change your mind. You know, you're not stuck on it. You know, we're all encompassed by this idea of time, and we all have a limited amount of time. But mm-hmm. the same idea. Don't always follow what the person right in front of you did.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people walking off cliffs and
for
you're like,
sure.
oh, us too.
Let me go, yeah.
You know, you know, and you
totally.
Have to take a minute to step back and to say, what's important? What sort of lifestyle do you want to have? And how do you get there?
Yeah.
You can be complacent with saying that this is, I'm okay moving out of California. I want a slower life. That's great. Enjoy it. There's things
totally.
About that lifestyle that I'm always envious about.
Mm-hmm.
But you are, always have this mindset of the decisions that you're making today have a rippling mm-hmm. effect down the
especially as you get older.
I look at it a little bit in a different way, and again, it kind of goes back to the marketing and branding of universities, and you have to get this high level to be reach a certain status and obtain mm-hmm. certain things after college. What I try to do, especially in high school, where I'm kind of like their last stop before the post-secondary education, I'm teaching them, I could care less if you know all the presidents, and
right,
you know,
right.
What I care about is building personal skills, and this is the reason why, because when you get out of high school, when you get out of college, to get a job wherever you went, mm-hmm. if you have a degree and you have good personal skills, you're going to build relationships and network properly, mm-hmm. and that's going to find you more positions
yeah.
than
for
a high-end
sure.
college
yeah.
university.
But do you think, because I fully agree with you,
mm-hmm.
and you can answer this too,
yeah.
but do you think that you're an outlier
in
the educational system?
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean?
I'm a little new school, like
yeah, like yeah. yeah, you're that new school of thought, which is how it should be,
yeah. Yeah.
right? And you guys understand those things, but obviously I would be worried. I'm not in school nowadays, mm-hmm. but I don't remember a teacher.
Uh-huh.
Like I remember inspirational teachers,
yeah.
right? And they obviously had an impact on me, but I don't really remember any teacher teaching me life skills, people skills,
mm-hmm.
or at least
right.
you know, advocating the importance of them. And I just wish that was more
right.
of like a standardized thing,
right?
Yeah.
You know,
well, and that's what bugs me most about like, and we've had a conversation about this is, entrepreneurs and people that don't advocate for college, they tend to generalize education, the education system, even though I do recognize it's flawed. But educators in general, like college is stupid, school's stupid, you don't need this, you don't need that. But the new school way of doing things and thinking, if you're a good educator, is to develop these personal skills, yep. how to be an independent thinker, how to be a lifelong thinker, how to master the art of questioning.
Yep.
All those things are really not built into the curriculum. The teacher has to implement that. And if they're not, then they're not a high-level educator.
Yeah. For sure.
So well, just like you have good trainers, bad trainers, good mechanics, bad mechanics.
Yeah.
It's in every industry.
Yeah.
They generalize us and like to all be and do the same thing in the same way.
Well, and it's funny because, I'll say the bad words, the common core, but it's something that I've completely bought into. And part of that is, and I don't know how well, like, and I know in elementary school, like, we've got all these high test scores and high whatever. And a lot of, like, if you were to come to my school and walk into all the classes, the kids are talking to each other. Like, mm-hmm. we teach them how to start doing that. We teach them how, because that is completely the way of the future. Yeah. And then there are some colleges that are starting to buy into that. So if you go into, we were just at a university kind of doing a tour, and the whole school, every single table was like this. Every single table had a TV screen. The kids are working together. It's completely group. Yeah. And that's kind of, I think, from what I understand, is more common in the professional world now, where people are working together as a group.
Yeah.
And so I think it's starting to transition that way for sure, where kids are not just sitting in a lecture hall anymore, and they're not...
memorizing.
But I don't know if that's across the board. Yeah, 100%. It's way more like people skills and whatever. And I don't know how much that's being continued in the high school level. Yeah. And I would actually like to have a conversation with somebody with that, because there's a lot of discrepancies I've seen from both. I don't really know. I can't talk to high school level like you can.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, because I know it's coming. I just don't know how much further than elementary it's going.
Well, and that's the way our job, all the jobs that are being created and all the predictions is obviously involving a lot of tech. We're in the fourth industrial revolution and innovation, starting your new businesses, being creative, finding the next best thing is very popular right now.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is through collaboration and all the skills that we're trying to build through our curriculum. So that's why I think it'll eventually phase out, like all those people who don't adopt that as they retire or, new curriculum gets implemented or whatever, but it is definitely the new way of thinking.
For sure.
And I think something to touch on, and I wish I had some sort of statistics to back up this theory of mine, but I mean, I still think everything comes down to education. So regardless of college, the statistics I read off earlier, where it goes from 25 to 35 to 38 to 41 to 60 to 80, in terms of as the level of your education through the college system increases, so does your pay. My argument would be that this is an education thing, not a college degree thing, in that if you take someone in the trade school realm, that if they follow the exact same path of, okay, you get certified in X, and then you continue to educate yourself, and then get this certification and this degree within that field, and you continue to level yourself up, you will continue to make more money.
Yeah.
And that could be said for any, whether it be a trade skill industry, whether it be, anything in the world, that as long as a personal trainer, that if you continue to get new certifications and broaden your reach and your knowledge base, that you are generally going to improve and make more money doing so.
You are, as long as you can have all of the degrees in the world, but if you don't have people skills and if you don't know how to talk to people and if you don't know how to sell yourself, you're not going to have any of that either, though.
Agreed.
So, you kind of have to have both of them, and I think that's where it's going.
My father-in-law does a job interviewing over at Northrop, and at one point we're talking about some of the interviews he had, and he said he was getting fed up with them because it was just rinse and repeat. Everything was exactly the same. And I said, well, how would I score if I did? He said, Sean, you'd get the job. He said, because you know how to sit down in front of a professional and handle yourself correctly, really know the right answers, and then to get yourself in that position. And those are the people skills.
Yep.
Which is funny if you really think about it. I wasn't great at school, but I was great at getting people to help me with school.
Yeah.
I was really good at saying, wow, I really like what you wrote with that piece of paper.
Help me out with that.
And so that's the beginning of an entrepreneur or a manager. A manager is someone who's delegating. You're looking for that next source to get the task done as fast as possible. So people don't know that they're learning those life skills, but they are. If they're learning to hustle and to get people to help them out,
yep.
You're a manager.
We listened to somebody who came and spoke to us, and she had said that the kids that are like the gate kids that are really smart and everything's easy, as soon as it gets hard, they completely fall apart because they have no idea how to work hard. But kids who are kind of on the average their whole school life, mm-hmm. they've had to work for it. And so working to them is just like anything else. It's just another day. Yep. And so they typically do better than kids with.
I want to add to this, those stats, because I have the same ones, is the unemployment rate. So without a high, with less than a high school diploma, unemployment rate's 8%. High school diploma, 5.4. Some college, 5% with debt. Associate's degree, 3.8, and then a bachelor's, 2. So it keeps going down.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's because, I think it's because of the opportunity that they get.
Yep.
So a person with no high school, they could be great at personal skills, but it's getting to get called into the interview.
Mm-hmm.
If
yeah.
they don't have it on paper, that's what we look at first, right? Your right. resume, your LinkedIn, your whatever, mm-hmm. and your credentials. If you don't have those credentials, I think that 8% contributes because they haven't graduated high school
yeah.
or they only have a high school diploma.
Yeah.
They could be
they're
the best.
Get turned away.
To get to the job, though, you need that opportunity to be called in.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, because even if you, yeah, yeah. for sure, if we get an application that says no high school diploma, they may be yeah. have the greatest people skills, the greatest yeah. sense, you know, energy of anyone we've ever interviewed, yeah. but they're not even going to get called in.
No, right.
So that's where the degree
yeah.
opens doors, as they say.
Yeah.
For
but
sure.
also it goes back to the employer, a smart employer. If you see like the trends in like Facebook and Google, they're not requiring degrees anymore.
For yeah. them.
And that's because they're being more open-minded, considering all the individuals, because there are a lot of people that have those great skills and that innovation, but maybe not,
yeah.
they're not paper, you know, paper they're not
smart.
Established
yeah.
on
yeah.
paper. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. I know there's definitely not one answer for sure.
Thank you guys for coming out and sharing you guys' expertise and opinions. I know, like you were just saying, I had a really good time kind of
yeah.
engaging with everybody. I think one kind of final thing we'll kind of send everybody off with, because that's the whole point of this, is, you know, the value that we kind of deliver to you guys and, you know, make you question things, make you think, like Kevin
yeah.
said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously if you have kids that are thinking about going to college and, you know, their path is still undecided, the more you can, you know, help guide them in that decision, I think will help. So we'll start here and kind of go around. I mean, is there anything else you kind of want to say before we take off to leave them with, or anything that you got from this?
My greatest piece of advice is to start thinking about the education systems and schools that are going to prepare your kids the most. And as parents, do your due diligence on you know, finding out what your kid's good at, his strengths, his weaknesses, where he would fit, what he wants, his interests, getting all that information throughout the years and throughout trial and error. Another thing I would do, I'm sorry, I wish colleges, and I'm sorry, I meant to mention this, I wish colleges would get rid of GE's requirements,
yeah.
do a 2-year curriculum,
I
and then
that.
2 years of internships.
Absolutely. I love that.
Because,
absolutely love that.
Yeah.
You should, why? That was like the best point you made.
I know, that's why I didn't want to let it.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's my advice for colleges and universities. Just do your due diligence, be smarter than the system, be more educated and figure out what's right long term. Don't think about the money that you're going to put up front, but what are the benefits that you're going to reap afterwards and the doors that are going to open. And
yeah. I would totally 100% agree with that. My other thought on that is that for parents who are watching, I just think that kids need to be brought up and encouraged to be self-advocating and really think about what they want to, and for parents to listen to what their kids want, because that's a huge thing. And kids need to be able to solve problems on their own before that they go away to school and have to do it.
Well, you know, to everybody out there, if you have an educator like these two in front of you, latch onto them. That's the first
thank
thing. Is
thank
find
you.
People around
Agreed.
You who are going to better your life. You want to surround yourself around that sort of influences. You may be having fun with the guy who's always, you know, keeping houses. That was the things that I love to do. But if I can give a
well, that
bit
was
of
fun,
advice,
though.
Do that in small doses, but latch on to the good people around you, because we talked briefly about networking. That's that first start
yeah.
of networking, is knowing how to spot the smartest person in the room and get yourself close to them. Mm-hmm. I think
yeah,
that life
sure.
will continue to open doors if you are always being vigilant about what's in front of you, what opportunities you can take
yeah.
advantage of.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
For sure.
Honestly, it's to taste as much as you can.
Yeah.
Find out what you're good at. And to the parents out there, I think this is kind of a a cry for help or a shout out to you guys to encourage them to taste everything and to try everything. And just because it's sports, school, everything, just because you played baseball doesn't mean your kid has to play baseball.
Right.
Let them play soccer. Let them play tennis. Let them do gymnastics. Whatever it is, let them find what they are passionate about. And then when they do, then go all in on that.
Sure.
And I think their path will be much more rewarding and successful at the end because of it. Cheers. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys coming out. We'll be back for episode 17. The next one we're going to do is whether or not your home is actually an investment. Mm. Cheers.